ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. In our last class, we dealt with the ninth mantra of the fourth section, and from here starts the essence of the entire Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. There were some great seekers of self-knowledge, Brahma Vidya, and they had a discussion that indicates they must have gathered at one particular place, and normally such a place would be the ashrama of a guru, Gurukula. They must have approached a great realized soul, and then they must have heard, and then that became the topic of discussion. So we can guess from the topic of discussion what the teacher had taught. What did he teach? That if you attain knowledge of Brahman, which is the same as the knowledge of your own true self, then you will achieve everything. You will be going beyond death, beyond ignorance, beyond suffering. That is what Bhagavan Buddha chose to call it nirvana. Nirvana means complete cessation of avidya, or in other words, anatma. That is to say, not that the world disappears, excepting for the person who realizes the world will continue. But even for the realized soul, the world can continue as long as the body is alive. But the outlook, what this world is, what one is, that completely changes from the moment of realization, sarvam khalvidam brahma. That is the result. By the knowledge of brahma vidyaya, sarvam bhavishyantaha, we become one, ekam sat no dvitiya. So the discussion is that what is the nature of Brahman, and knowing this Brahman, our teacher proclaims, declares that one becomes Brahman. So what is the nature of that Brahman? And the answer is given in the next mantra, mantra 10, in the fourth section of the first chapter. So I will just read out. Then we will analyze this beautiful mantra and this fourth section, tenth mantra is the very essence of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, all Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, every scripture in the world. Let us just recite this beautiful mantra, which is itself very purifying. Brahmava idam agre asit tat atmanam eva aveda aham brahma asmi tasmat tat sarvam abhavat tat yo devanam pratyabudhyata sa eva tat abhavat tatha rishinam tatha manushyanam. This is one part of the 10th mantra. It is a long mantra. I divided it into several parts, expressing different meanings, different contexts. So next comes a small portion of this mantra, where there was a great rishi, his name was Vamadeva, and he realized aham brahmasmi, and after realization, he remained as a jivan mukta, he must have remained. Then he was expressing, tad etat pashyan, Rishi Vamadevaha Pratipede aham manur abhavam suryasya iti. What did he say? That seeing this one, this Rishi Vamadeva said that I became one. I had the knowledge. I destroyed the ignorance that I am an individual and realized that I am Brahman. Not only I am Brahman, I am everything. Aham Sarvam. This is called Sarvatma Bhava, the knowledge that I am everything. So as a sample, said, I am the Manu. Manu was the Brahma who started the creation of the Manavas. That's why all human beings are called Manavas, because they originated from Manu. So, I am the Adhyatmika, I am the Adhibhautika, I am the Adhidaivika. So, as a sample, Aham Suryascha iti, I am Surya, I am Chandra, I am Indradi Devatas, I am the entire physical world, I am all the bodies, I am all the minds. In other words, I am all the gross bodies, all the subtle bodies, all the causal bodies. Not only that, now the mantra goes to tell, Manu is only just a sample, but anyone who strives through proper channels, meaning he must have genuine desire, mumukshutvam, he must approach a Sadguru in a formal manner, and then he must sit, he must serve, he must please, he must surrender to the teacher, and then the teacher gives. Surrendering is not an act of servitude, but is an act of identifying oneself with the Guru, making oneself 100% ready to receive 100% what the teacher wishes to give. That is what Sri Ramakrishna says. The breeze of God's grace is blowing all the time. Unfurl your sails. Become fit. That's all. So the mantra goes to tell, not only Manu. Anybody can become like Manu. That is what Swami Vivekananda's simplified English version, each soul is potentially divine. Everyone is divine. So, now soul means not only the living, but would-be living, which we usually call it non-living. So the mantra continues, Tat idam api etarhi yaha evam veda aham brahmasmiti sa idam sarvam bhauti. Like Vamadeva, whoever, so he, whoever becomes a knower of Brahman, he becomes everything. So he said, the same will be there. So there would be no difference. So once a person becomes free, what happens? So Rishi Vamadeva said that anybody, whether a human being, a god, whether Hindu, Christian, or a Muslim, or a Buddhist, anybody, all these differences completely vanish when a person progresses in spiritual life, because the mind will no longer compartmentalize. I am a Hindu, I am a Buddhist, etc. I am a lover of God. I am a child of God. I am a seeker of God. That is all the feeling. And I have been separated by some mysterious power called avidya. And I want to rejoin my mother, God, Brahman. So, he says that anybody can realize it. Everybody has not only a right, it is an inescapable goal of life. We may evade that goal for some time, but at some point of time, we are going to become awake. So why not try from now onwards? The very fact that you are all listening to these talks indicate that you are in earnestness. You want to learn what the Upanishad has to say, and then you will have to understand that you are a fit disciple. But this is only mumukshutva. One has to acquire those qualities whereby we would not slip from the position of this mumukshutvam, but rather 100% mumukshutvam. So, such a person who knows I am Brahman, he becomes everything. He becomes the gods. He becomes the entire jagat. He becomes every living, non-living being. So what happens then? Tasya ha na devascha abhutya ishate. So nobody can put an obstruction. Nobody can rule over and say, no, you cannot realize God. You cannot, I will not allow you to walk in the path of spirituality. So that elaboration will come next. We will see that one. But here, no deva, no creature, nobody else can obstruct the progress of such a person. So when we are talking about progress, we have to understand this person who is determined that I want to realize God, we are talking about that person. Of course, when a person becomes a realized soul, he is Brahman. Who can control Brahman? On the other hand, Ishvaraha sarvabhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantrarudhani mayaya. It is the Ishvara, it is the Brahman who controls everything and who makes us act just as move a puppeteer, moves all the puppets. So our body, everybody's mind becomes like a puppet sitting inside sarvabhutanam riddeshe arjuna tishtati. He goes on controlling everybody. We are not talking about a realized soul. We are talking about, or the mantra is talking about, a soul who has determined, and such a person will be protected by God, Bhagavan, Ishvara. Therefore, nobody can harm him. Nobody can give obstruction. But what about all the obstructions that we ourselves encounter? Because it is like going into a gymnasium. We have to choose a proper guide. You can't simply walk in into a gymnasium and then go on choosing whatever you want. That is a very unwise way. One has to approach a proper gymnastic teacher and he tests you and then he gives. Now you run so many 15 minutes, 20 minutes, or you lift so much weights. A person whose muscles cannot lift 1 kg will not be asked to lift 5 kg. Okay, you try to lift 1.2 kg, 1.1 kg, a little more, and that itself will test our power of endurance, our power capacity, and that is the obstacle. So therefore, God gives the obstacles not to obstruct us, but to give us the strength as an exercise. Looked in this way, from this angle, anybody criticizing us, anybody praising us, and anybody who deprives us, first point we have to understand, nobody can deprive us of our right material, what is called copyright. Only our karma can decide. But when these things come through the medium of other people, in the form of either help or obstruction, they're all to help us. This is an astonishing statement by Sri Ramakrishna, Swamiji and others. Really speaking, every obstruction, whether it is kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, or what is called negative attitudes, everything, if we become aware of it, and if we try to use that, like some of the judo training, you use the opponent's strength, and use it for your advantage. So, this is the technique we have to understand. And Sri Ramakrishna, if you study the gospel properly, unilaterally declares, without avidya, one can never realize God. Both avidya and vidya, maya comes in these two forms. Both are the grace of God. Both are employed by the Divine Mother to be our helpers. In fact, I think avidya helps us most. And if you are reading the WhatsApp messages I am sending, especially from the Imitation of Christ, for the last a month or so, I have been selecting these messages. You will see there Thomas A. Kempis, a novice master, and he says that God alone sends these obstacles for strengthening the children whom he loves. He loves them because that love is reflected, that love is allowed to reflect in the hearts of some people through their faith, through their conduct. So, the qualities of asuras are very important. At one stage of our progress, the qualities of asuras help us very greatly. If you think deeply about the qualities of the asuras, which Bhagavan Krishna himself, squeezing the essence of all the Upanishads into that so easily understandable Bhagavad Gita, if you study in the 16th chapter, looks as if they're all very negative things. From one point of view, they try to drag a person from a higher position to a lower position. It means they make us be away from God and the distance will be longer and longer. But you will notice there is something there. How strong these people are, how much of willpower they have to do wrong things. We have to learn our lesson and say, if I am successful in doing so many wrong things, why can't I be successful in also creating good samskaras? Because when we complain, we don't have willpower. We are not complaining about our lack of willpower in doing evil deeds or unspiritual activities. We are only complaining about so-called spiritual activities. But a great lesson has to be learned. Not only that, it is inevitable. Everybody develops only from a raw material. In the beginning, all these things are given to us, and Sri Ramakrishna gives a marvelous psychological explanation for this. As I said, study the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Do not read it. Study it. Take relevant passages together and then meditate upon. With the grace of Sri Ramakrishna, we will be able to understand them properly. Once when a young man approached him saying, I am troubled by lust, and this is the problem most people face. Sri Ramakrishna, to this person's probably surprise or shock, advised, why do you want to remove kama, increase it? But this increment, the kama, a desire, must be for an object. Change the object. And the more desire you have, the stronger the desire, the quicker will be the progress in spiritual life. And that is the psychology. Develop willpower. And in the beginning, we have to develop willpower towards, seems to be running down the hill is much easier than climbing up the hill. But once we run down, we also have to come up again to our home. And that is how the same principle works also in our day-to-day spiritual life. So, there is, really speaking, no obstacle. If there seem to be an obstacle, it is only to make us aware, oh, I have this problem, I have this hidden desire, I have these unspiritual tendencies. Most of us are blissfully unconscious about these things. Therefore, if somebody is trying to be spiritual, then the gods themselves will help us by creating obstacles. So it is said in the Puranas, if somebody wants to move towards God, to be nearer to God, Indra comes first and he sends some beautiful woman. Some time back, I had explained the story of Vishwamitra. Through the story of Vishwamitra, a profoundly spiritual analogy that what did Indra do? In fact, Indra will be very happy if anybody says, I don't want your position. I want to move towards God. Indra will be worried only when someone wants to displace him, but not to compete with him. So if somebody says, I don't want the position of Indra, Chandra, Brahma, he will be very happy. But then he wants to bestow his grace. So he came there, he comes there, sends beautiful woman. As we know, first of all, Vishwamitra, he fell for it. And then he enjoyed it. And he exhausted that desire. He woke up. How foolish I have been doing this 1,000 years of hard austerity. Now, out of curiosity, you will ask what type of austerity he was performing. He must be suppressing his desires for these material enjoyments. But he did not realize that they have not disappeared. Rather, suppression or operation is what is called, gives only a negative result, not a positive result. They rather reinforce the desire. So he should have, what is the first thing he should do? First look inside and say, oh, my greatest present obstruction is lust, comma. And lust can be for money, for wealth, for power, for many things. But in this case, I am enamored of, I am identified with the body, so body desires only body. Therefore, I am desirous of another body. I want to become one with that body. And then, I want to become spiritual. But is this not an obstruction? What should I do? So, first time he fell, and then he realized, acutely he became aware that because of my own fault, I have fallen. So, another 1,000 years, what did Indra do? The second 1,000 years tapasya was telling, no Indra or Chandra can ever obstruct me. It is my own desire that made me fall down. That desire, that knowledge, that awareness, it saved him. So, next time, again Indra sent. This is a test. And Vishwamitra smiled and said, go on dancing, singing, and show everything, every charm you can. And he did not fall for it. Rather, I jumped over. No, the second step is not that. Kama now turned into krodha. What? Again you have come? Once I fell, do you think I am going to fall down again? This time, the lust had turned into insatiable anger. From kama only, krodha comes. It's such a marvelous psychological knowledge Bhagavad Gita is giving. Dhyayato shayan pumsaha sangahatesh upajayate sangat sanjayate kamaha kamat krodha abhijayate. If there is no desire, no anger will come. If I am not interested in some object, if anybody obtains that object, I won't be angry with that person. Whether I bless and say, good riddance. So, this is what happened. Second time he became angry. Then, they all became basma. That means, he wasted his 1,000 years tapasya second time also, because he fell a victim to anger. Just like Totapuri Maharaj fell down a victim, even though he claimed I am a Brahmagnani, he forgot everything about Brahmagnana. He was overcome by krodha, and then he was about to beat. So, if an elephant just touches a mouse, it will be crushed to pieces. It need not exert any force. So, this Totapuri Maharaj was a very strong person. So, he could have crushed this temple servant. Then, Ramakrishna started laughing. This is how we have to understand the scripture. And this is the method I would like to follow. Study the Gita, study the Upanishads, look at parallels in the life of Sri Ramakrishna, both in the Gospel and Great Master, then you will see what is happening. So, Totapuri did not understand, even did not understand, why is Sri Ramakrishna laughing? And Sri Ramakrishna uttered a beautiful Bengali word, Tor Brahmagyanar Daud Kotatuku Amidekchi. the extent of your knowledge of Brahman, I am seeing crystal clearly. Tathapuri was surprised. What did I do? Why? Don't you recollect? Just now, you are about to beat a temple servant. Why? Because he dared to take a bit of fire from your dhuni fire. So, are there different types of fire? One fire is impure, another fire is pure. You are making a distinction, and a Brahmagnani never makes any distinction. Brahmagnani doesn't see, I am a Brahmagnani, and this person is a lowly servant. He should never come near me or pollute me. Even the great Shankaracharya was reputed to have fallen into this snare. Doram apasarare chandala. I am not going to refer to all those things, but as a result, the so-called chandala had enlightened him. And then Shankara came to his senses. Immediately he wrote a most marvelous 5 shlokas, Manisha Panchakam. The 5 shlokas of the highest wisdom. Manisha means highest wisdom, highest knowledge. So Tathapuri realized. What did he realize? I became angry. But becoming angry is not a problem. Unconsciously becoming a slave to anger, that is the problem. Ramakrishna also becomes angry, but he becomes angry as a person who knows, I am pretending to be angry, because next second he will forget everything. So, Tathapuri suddenly became aware, I am claiming I am a Brahmagnani, and I do not know what my mind is doing to me. So, if I had really obtained Brahmagnana, what were we discussing? Brahmagnanena sarvam abhavam. A person who realizes that he is everything. Where is the question of becoming angry? Who is to be angry with another? There is a Shankaracharya's beautiful hymn. Therein he says, it is Vishnu who is laughing. It is Vishnu who is getting angry. Vishnu is getting angry with Vishnu. Vishnu is laughing at Vishnu. Vishnu is mocking at Vishnu. Everything is nothing but pure Vishnu. What a marvelous hymn. I forget the name of the hymn, but I hope to tell you next time. So now, this is what happens. Nobody can put obstructions. But God will be gracious, fathoming that we want to come to Him. A mother doesn't want any dirt. She will wash. Sometimes it may be painful. Even that washing process can be hard, painful. That mud which is sticking for a long time becomes part of the skin. To brush it off might even cause some injury to the skin. Therefore, one has to pull out a thorn which is deeply embedded in the sole of the foot. When a person wants to pull it, it is painful. In the olden days, when a person wanted to give injection, that is also very painful. But now, they have invented fine needles. But some people are frightened. They cannot see being injected. But it is something wonderful. So, any sincere aspirant will always be protected by God in the form of such sincerity. And the sincerity alone will overcome all obstacles. Overcoming all obstacles means the mind becomes stronger. Overcoming obstacles means turning every obstacle into a positive help, like this jujutsu, so that nobody will give. The Upanishad is giving a beautiful example that this person who is seeking is not seeking any higher position. Therefore, gods like Indra, Varuna, etc., they come as the greatest friendly advisors, teachers. They deliberately put these things in this form to test. And then if the child falls once, twice, 100 times, 1,000 times, they don't abandon us. Our child is sincere, but he has to become stronger. So, as many times as necessary,
obstructions will come. And they are all for our good. That is what Ramanujacharya wants to convey through his third step of the Sharanagati, Rakshishyasi iti Vishwasaha, that unshakable faith that God is going to save me. Yes, I have a long way to go, but I have nothing to worry because God is my helper. And then the Upanishad puts it in its own words. He says, after all, a sadhaka says to Indra, I am your Atma. There is no difference between you and me. And one never harms one's own self. Therefore, if you harm me, you will be harming yourself. But then Indra will never, nobody will ever do, much less Indra. That is what he says. Tasyana devascha anabhutya ishate. Nobody can put obstructions. Atma hi esha sa bhavati. Because this person first identifies. We have seen this, we will have to connect it with what is called a previous other Upanishads. In Taittiriya we have seen. So what does this person become first? First he says, I am this body. I am this body, my body. It is my body, not anybody's body. Everybody is different from my body. That is the state in which we are all in. Then, so you have to, annam brahmeti, tapa, tapas, tu trapasya, I should know, annam brahma. I am not only this body, I gradually expand my identity to the whole created being, every body. That is called the state of Virat. When there is a state of Virat, then nobody can harm me because anybody who harms me is harming one's own self. People don't understand. If somebody wants to give trouble to a good man, the inevitable punishment will come. And that punishment is not a punishment. It is a lesson that that person has to learn through what is called hardship, suffering, etc. So, nobody will stand as an obstruction because he has become one. He thinks, I am Indra, I am Varuna, I am Brihaspati, I am Brahma. Therefore, nobody will put in an obstruction because nobody will do harm to, knowingly, nobody will do harm to one's own self. After this, it is called Vidya Sutra or what is called Brahma Vidya Sutra. Aphorisms, the mantra, that tells us about the glory, the greatness, the goal of every human being, especially human being, now comes that the Upanishad wants us to clearly understand what is called avidya. This is called Avidya Sutra. And I am using this word. The Upanishad itself doesn't say this is Vidya Sutra and this is Avidya Sutra. But it is the Shankaracharya in his Bhashya. He says that Atmetyupasita aham brahmasmi iti. Atman alone must be made as the goal, final goal of your life. And the goal is to have the knowledge aham brahma asmi. I am, I was, I am, I will be. Not that I am going to become Brahman. I was, but due to some avidya, I thought I am not Brahman. Now, through vidya, through this upasana, I removed that idea that I am not Brahman. I destroyed that ignorance. Then I realize what I am truly is. I will never be anything else other than Brahman. So, up till now, in this 10th mantra, only one mantra, but divided into several sections, it is called Vidya Sutram is over. Now, Avidya Sutram. According to the understanding commentary of Bhagavan Shankaracharya, he says there are people and they are also spiritual people, so-called spiritual people. They are also trying to contemplate other gods and goddesses, but they were like ignorant persons. So avidya means ignorance. Ignorance means forgetting one's own nature and identifying as somebody else. So he says, anybody thinks that I am worshipping my mother and father, I am worshipping my acharya. I am worshipping my teacher. And then slowly, I should worship them as what? As gods. In the olden days, there would be so many gods and goddesses. And most often, these gods and goddesses were nothing but the combined powers of nature. The power of seeing, the universal power of seeing is called the sun. The universal power of the thinking power is called the moon. So, every sense organ, and we have 11 sense organs, 5 of knowledge, 5 of action, and 1 mind, all these things are nothing but that devatas. Combined, they are called devata. Remember the story of the Brahmana who killed a cow which strayed into his garden, but he wanted to escape the sin. Indra comes and educates him that if you think you killed, you tended this garden, then you have to accept you killed this. If you feel it is Indra who has tended this garden, it is his power, because Indra's power came to me in the form of my skillful hands, and the moon's power comes to me in the form of my crystal clear thinking, how I can create a wonderful garden. So my hands, everything is the individual power of that presiding deities called Surya, Chandra, Varuna, etc. So every organ we have as a corresponding devata. What is the devata? Not only my capacity to see, but everybody's capacity to see combined together is called the presiding deity. So, if anybody, because of ignorance, thinks, I am small, you are big, I am a human being, ordinary human being, small human being, powerless human being, ignorant human being, but you are all-powerful devata, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Brihaspati, etc. And you are separate. And I am like an animal to you. I am like a servant to you. So what happens? That I have to worship him. I have to serve him. And this is called avidya. And the Upanishad puts it in this way. Atha yo anyam devatam upaste. Anyo asau. Anyo aham asmiti. Na sa veda. This person, he doesn't know. What does not he know? He is ignorant. What is he ignorant? That there is only one being, that is everything, that is Brahman. But if anybody thinks, I am different, I am small, but the God I am worshipping is most powerful and he can protect me, he can help me, he can make me happier, etc. There is a vast difference between me and other human beings, between me and everything in this world, between me and all the gods and goddesses who are the presiding deities. And I am separate from Brahman itself, Saguna Brahma Ishvara. I am separate, in other words, from everything else. This is called Dvaita Vedanta. So I am separate from everything else. Aham Anyaha, I am separate. So, this Anyo Asau, this Devata is separate. Aham Anyaha Asmi, I am totally different from him. Such a person is called an ignorant person. Sa Na Veda, that person is what is called as knowledge. That knowledge is called ignorant knowledge, not right knowledge, non-right knowledge. What is the result? What happens? Yatha Pashureva Sa Devanam. So he becomes like an animal to the gods. And then the Upanishad gives us a beautiful example. Yatha Havai Bahavaha Pashavo Manushyam Bhunjyoho. Supposing there is a person and he has got 100 animals. They can be goats, they can be cows, they can be buffaloes, they can be horses, they can be chicken. They can be anything. So, all these animals contribute to the so-called pleasures of this human being. So, the pashus are subservient and they are like servants, catering to the health, happiness, wealth, etc. of the human being. Take this example. Evam, thus, ekaikaha purusho devan bhunakti. So each one of us who is an ignorant person, described earlier, devan bhunakti, they contribute to the pleasures of these deities like Indra, Chandra, etc. And then the Purushottam goes on saying, ekasmin neva pashvadin adiyamane apriyam bhavati. If a person who has got 100 animals and if one animal is missing or taken away by somebody or somehow missing, then apriyam bhavati, he becomes extremely pained. He is not saying, I have 99 animals, why should I worry? No, I am incomplete without that one animal. I don't want to lose. Why? Because it is serving my happiness, for my welfare. Kimu bahushu, and if many animals are lost, what to speak of the condition of that person's mind? So, tasmat esham tat na priyam. Tasmat, therefore, in the similar manner, esham means to these gods, tat na priyam. It is not desirable that they will lose one of these servants, because how do we become servants? We worship them, give offerings to them, and we pray to them, we go on pilgrimage, we go do pradakshanam. So we are doing to please them, and they are enjoying, and they bestow correspondingly. They protect us, just as we protect our animals, so they protect us. If these devatas, like this human being, who has got many human beings as animals serving him, offering him worship, praises, etc. After all, these devatas also want to get praise, etc. Then if a person says that, I don't want to serve you any longer, I want to know that I am Brahman, then immediately they become alert and they will put us with extra shackles, etc., so that we cannot escape. So like that, if anybody thinks this person is different from God, this devata is different from God, but whom I am worshipping, he is my God. If anybody says, God is different from me, devatas are different from me, he becomes to these devatas, to like animals, they serve. This person becomes like an animal, serving animal, and not only devatas. We become slaves to a cow, to a chicken, to a servant, nowadays especially, to get persons who are willing to cook, to clean, and to tend to the garden is becoming extremely difficult. Labor is also very costly. That is why in the Western countries, they are resorting to inventing various machines, and you must be knowing that now they are inventing household robots which will do all your work, and they will not protest. They will not ask you to give more, raise their salary. They will not suddenly disappear without notice. Hopefully, we don't know what they are going to do after some time. They might become that we also want to realize God. We want to know that we are no less than you, so why should we serve you? And if you raise your eyebrow, we are going to smash you to smithereens, we'll send you to the other world. They might do also, we don't know. So what is this mantra telling? Telling that first of all, the goal of life is realization that I am Brahman. Nobody is different from us. So if anybody thinks, everything is different from me, because a person can never say, I am different only from this object, but I am one with every object. Either we are one with every object, or we are separate from every object. And such a person, we become dependent. How many gadgets? We depend upon coffee, depend upon sweets, depend upon salt, depend upon spices, depend upon every Tom, Dick, Harry. Oh, if my boss looks at me and maybe he is smiling, thinking that I am going to get rid of this fellow, but we do not understand it. Oh, my boss is highly pleased with me. Every second, weather is good, weather is hot, weather is cold, at every step, 1,000 bonds of slavery, dependence upon so many things happen. But the essence of it is, if somebody wants only God realization, then even gods become highly favorable and they do their level best. In fact, God's grace comes only in the form of God, this grace of different gods and goddesses. We have to understand that. Therefore, the second part of it is called Avidya Sutram. That is to say, to think that I am different, that is called ignorance. And to overcome this ignorance and to know that there is no second. Dvitiya Nasti. Eka Sadeva Saumya Idamagra Asit. There is only one reality. There is no second reality. That is the goal of life. How these mantras so beautifully they convey to us the message, even our pitiable present state where we are dependent upon prana, upon external weather, external people, external animals, external objects, everything. Probably I will elaborate it a little more. Then only the mantra makes very great meaning. So the idea is, do not come under the influence of avidya. Already we are in that. Try to break free, like a lion breaks free. We will talk about this subject in our future classes. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.